All right, let's stand on our feet, and we're going to do our verse of the week. All right, we're going to do the reference, the verse, and then the reference, and the cards are in the foyer as you leave, all right? 1 John 4:13-14. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit, and we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. 1 John 4:13-14. Thank you. You can be seated, and those cards are available. If you're not following what's going on, Pastor Jerry is out of the country. He is in Egypt. He is working with OTAN, so I'm trying to take the high road on this, but get me into privacy and I'll blow up this picture in person. It is hilarious. I love the guy. I respect the guy. Jane, she loves it. I mean, she has always wanted to ride on a camel. Pastor Jerry, on the other hand, well, I just want to know, if anybody has a pet camel, I need it 1 week because I want to put a sign that says Pastor Jerry, and underneath I'm just going to write PTL, praise the Lord, and stick it on the exterior of that camel and put it in, make a Pastor Jerry parking lot. So if you have a pet camel, let me know. But what a great picture for them in Egypt as they are over with OTAN, Outreach to Asian Nationals, and he just finished a conference ministering to men and women that are overseas and had many people come to salvation in Christ and also had many people rededicate their life in service to the Lord. So what a great opportunity he has as an extension of our ministry here at Crosspoint. So they fly home on Tuesday. They're leaving Egypt, and it's a long ride across that ocean, and then they'll be back sometime Tuesday or Wednesday back in the good state of Maine. So before we go any further, let's take 2 minutes and pray for Pastor Jerry. Lord, we're so thankful for an opportunity to send Pastor Jerry and Jane overseas. And we can chuckle at this great picture of them on camels, but what a great opportunity you have given him, both of them, to be ambassadors for you across the ocean. And we pray that you continue to keep them safe. We thank you for a great conference where he has seen many people rededicate their lives because of the preaching of your word. And salvations occurred because of the preaching of your word. So we pray for safety for them as they travel back to the airport, that they would get through security and that they would have a safe flight home and be able to put their feet back in Maine. So we ask a hedge of protection around them and that they would continue to enjoy their time and that the gospel would continue to go forth because of the ministry that he has. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. All right, so we're on to a new series for 2 weeks. We want to learn and ask the question, Lord, teach me to pray. And so I have a pop quiz. All right, so as you turn to Luke chapter 11, there's a pop quiz, and I know that the third service is going to be the most vigorous in your responses to this pop quiz, okay? Okay, you're not starting out well. All right, I have this desire. I want to learn how to. All right, I know enough to make me dangerous. I do not know enough to make me employed. Some of you, if you get around me enough, you're going to say, we're not even sure you know enough to make you dangerous, just other than to yourself, all right? So the first one is I have this desire to do home projects. I want to be able to fix my house. I want to be able to do demolition and reconstruction and make it look pretty. So who else would I go to but the expert to teach me how to be a home contractor? I'm going to talk to Chip Gaines. Chip Gaines, demo day. You can't go wrong with a guy that throws himself through drywall. I'm just going to tell you that's not as easy as it looks. That's all I'm going to say, and I'm going to move on. All right? Some of you are really techie, and you just thrive on technology, and you just crave it, and you understand it. Some of you get a new device, and you go to a younger person and say, fix it. I want it to do this, 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 and this. Fix it to do that. Okay? So if we want technology advice, we're going to go to this guy. Who's this? Ooh. The Apple creator, Steve Jobs, passed away. But you're right. This is the guy that now oversees Apple. His name is Tim Cook. Tim Cook, now the CEO of Apple. Okay, we're not bad. We're not bad. You're getting there. Recently, I was approached and I was asked to be a coach. Would you coach soccer? And I thought, oh, what a great opportunity. It's a great time to put into the life of young children and encourage them and do this. Except there's one problem. I don't know a thing about soccer. But I'm willing, and I was somewhat able, and I thought, just not right now. There's so much going on. But I thought, if I wanted to be a coach, I got to find that dynamite coach. I need to talk to that coach. So I'm going to go talk to Tony Dungy. Boy, looking for a little bit more here. Come on. Okay, it's all right. I'll get you at this one. Last one. A couple of things going on in our world as far as medical and how do I respond? What do I do? I need to tell you that I am fascinated with the medical field. I think it's just awesome what men and women can do. And it would be my desire to like get into an operating room to see an operation, not be the one that's being operated on. So I would love to see an operation. Like, I'm that guy. I actually like Dr. Pimple Popper. Oh, how is he gonna do that? That's just awesome. And everyone's like, oh, that's so gross. Okay, but that just fascinates me. So if I have questions about the medical field or about a medical procedure or anything, I'm gonna go to the expert. I'm going to ask Dr. Yeah, there you go. Good job. You redeemed yourself. When I want to struggle, when I want to stop struggling on how to pray, when I want to know how to pray, because it's so very, very important, I'm going to turn to the expert. Who am I going to turn to when I want to learn to pray? I'm going to go to Jesus. Jesus is going to teach me. So for the next 2 weeks, we're going to be in God's Word in Luke chapter 11. So if you by now should be in Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 4. All right, Jesus is speaking, and it happened that while Jesus was praying, don't miss this. Jesus is out with his disciples, and commentators are split on this as to how close Jesus was. Could they hear him? Could they not hear him? But what we do know is that the disciples, they saw Jesus praying. He modeled prayer. And as I look out, as I see parents, I see some grandparents, I see future church leaders, I want to encourage you to model prayer. I want to encourage you to pray so that people see you praying, not so much that people say, oh, wow, look at that, but it's an opportunity to help people grow in how to pray. So Jesus, he was off to the side, and he was modeling prayer, and he was praying in a certain place. He went to a place to pray. He got away to pray. Now, your homework assignment this afternoon, which do you realize I give homework all the time, but I never check it? Have you realized that yet? I'm going to challenge you this afternoon or throughout the week to read through the Gospels and just track how busy Jesus is. And friends, sometimes we get around and we talk to each other, hey, how you doing? Oh, I'm so busy, I'm so busy. I'm trying to make a conscious effort to say I'm not busy. I'm choosing to put so much stuff in my life. And as I look at the life of Jesus, he was very busy. He was here for a specific reason, to accomplish a specific mission. And he had a certain small window to do that. And yet we see here that out of busyness of life, Jesus spent time to pray. By now, you are in Luke 11, and I see the glow of God's word on your face. And some of you are seeing the notifications come in. New Fox News alert, new CNN alert, new NBC alert. Text coming in from the football coach or the cheerleading coach this afternoon. The game got moved, the game got canceled, the game got put back on. You've got emails coming in. You've got text messages coming in. You've got all of these things that are biding for your time. And we can become so distracted. Jesus, out of all that distractedness, he settled himself and he went to pray in a certain place. When's the last time that you settled your heart and you prayed? When's the last time you looked at your schedule out of all those emails, out of all those Google Calendar apps coming, notifications coming, and you said, boy, today is a busy day. I'll do my prayer time at the end of the day. And you know how that works out. You end up putting your head in the pillow and you fall asleep. Martin Luther, one of the great theologians, he said, work, work. From morning until late at night. In fact, I have so much to do that I shall have to spend the first 3 hours in prayer. When's the last time you said that? I'm so busy, I have to get up earlier to pray more to accomplish my day. And yet, if we were be honest with each other, we would say, you know, I'm just going to skip my prayer life because I got to get to the busyness of my day. I hope that this challenges you, and I hope it comforts you to say, you know what? There is so much power in prayer. I have to do it. The disciples see this, and so they come to Jesus, and they say to him, Lord, teach me to pray. If you could ask Jesus to teach you one thing, what would it be? I thought about this for a while. And I thought, you know, if I were the disciples, I would say to Jesus, Lord, teach us to teach. I mean, Jesus is the master teacher. How do you come up with that great object lesson and then turn the corner and bring biblical truth that brings people to the foot of God? Teach me how to teach. I would also think, Jesus, would you teach me how to do that miracle? That would be amazing. To turn water into wine or the feeding of the 5,000 or to heal that person, would you teach me how to do the miracles? Sometimes I think about this and I go, Jesus, would you teach me just how to anger the Pharisees even more? Because that's just fun. And they're the ones that I really want to get to. Teach me how to wind them up. But the disciples, they see Jesus praying and they say to him, Jesus, would you teach me how to pray? It's that important that I learn how to pray. I'm going to sit at the feet of Jesus and I'm going to ask him to teach me to pray. Prayer, friends, is that important. We can sit at the feet of Jesus and learn how to pray. So Jesus' response, he says this. He said to them, being disciples, when you pray, not if you pray, but when you pray. There should be an active or at least a prayer life within you. Not just in the times of crisis, but in the times of good, in the times of difficulty. There should be a time to pray. When you pray, so he looks at him and says, hey guys, in my mind's eye, I have him sitting and the disciples are kind of in like a semicircle. Hey guys, listen, when you pray, okay, and they're sitting there ready to take notes. When you pray. The first thing you're going to say, when you pray, say, Father. Now, the disciples, they would have known the Old Testament. You read through the Old Testament, there are beautiful prayers that are prayed in the Old Testament. But in the Old Testament, God is always seen as being holy, as being set apart, as being sacred, and he is. And there is a, if you will, a disconnect. A person has to go to a mediator, a prophet. I'm thinking of Moses. And then Moses goes to God. God goes to Moses. Moses goes to the people. Jesus is saying, you've heard that God is separate. But now you're to pray, Father. That would have rocked their world. You're to pray, saying, Dad. He's saying, Abba. There is an intimacy there that Jesus says, when you pray with intimacy, that you crawl up on the feet of God, on the lap of God, and you say, Dad. We would say, Daddy. There was one time, since I was probably 10, that I called my dad, Daddy. I was in trouble. I had done something very, very wrong. My parents were out of town, so they left me with the car, a 16-year-old with the car. What could possibly go wrong? Well, I was going around a corner, and I hit some gravel, and I went and I wrecked the car. And my parents are out of town. What do you say to your dad when you've just wrecked the car and he's out of town? So I pick up the phone. Dad picks up. Hey, Dad. Is Mom there? I said, Daddy. And he said, Are you okay? Because he knew. I always called him Dad. Are you okay? Yes. Okay, what happened? Well, you see, Dad, I was studying centrifugal force because he's a physics teacher. The centrifugal force was going around, and I discovered that the inertia slowed down once the tire saddlebagged over the hill and the catalytic converter took care of the kinetic energy. Okay. Can I talk to Mom now? There was an intimacy between my dad and I that I was able to lean into him and say, Hey, Dad. Daddy. And Jesus sees his disciples. He says, The first thing about prayer is there's got to be that intimate relationship. Most of you call me Tom. That's wonderful. There are three people in this world that call me Dad. And maybe your daughter is going to come up to me and at the end of the service and go, Hey, Dad, can I borrow $20? I don't know. Go ask him. Because I don't have that relationship with her. If those three girls come and ask me, Hey, Dad, can we borrow $20? You know what I say? Go ask Mom. Why? Because I have that relationship with those three girls. And they can crawl up there and sit beside me. And not manipulating me, don't misapply that. But they can look at me and say, Hey, Dad, we need to talk. The first thing about prayer is Jesus says, when you pray with that relationship. You can't pray unless you know the God in heaven. You can't pray until you know him as Dad. Second application is you may know him as Dad, but there might be a strain in the relationship. There might be something going on in your life that causes you to say, you know what, Dad and I aren't too close. And this can be the morning that you look at your father that sits in heaven, your dad that's in heaven and say, Dad, you know something? We aren't as close as we should be. And when I look at my life, I realize I'm the one that strayed and you've been consistent. This morning can be the morning that you either begin that relationship with God and you cry out and say, Dad, I need help. I've wrecked the car. I've wrecked my life. Help me. Or you might step up and say, Dad, life isn't going the way I thought it was going to go. Would you help me? So he says the first thing is you pray for the relationship. You pray from the relationship. So then you're going to say, Hallowed be your name. You're going to respect God. Just because he is intimate and you have this relationship with him does not mean you can be disrespectful. One of the things that just grates against me is when we call God the big guy upstairs. That just bothers me. It's no different than me looking at you and saying, "Hey, old man." That's disrespectful. We have the privilege and the opportunity to speak to the maker of heaven and earth. We should do it respectfully. So we're praying the relationship because I have this intimate relationship with him. Just think about it. I wrecked the car. Hey, Dad, old man, sit down. I got some news for you. That's not a respectful way to start a conversation. Are you with me? But yet we do that when we talk to God, when we're talking and praying to God. We respect him because he is worthy of respect. He is worthy to be praised. So we pray with a relationship. We pray with respect, and then we pray, "Your kingdom come." I have read every single Bible translation, and I cannot find the translation I want. Do you know what the translation I want is? Pray, "Father, hallowed be your name. Tom's kingdom come." I haven't found it because that's not the point of prayer. The point of prayer is not for my will to be done. The point of prayer is for me to say, "God, what can I do to further your kingdom? What can I do to further your word?" That means I have to know what God wants me to do. I have to spend time in his word. Why? Because I have this relationship with him. Why do I have this relationship with him? Because he sent his son for me, and I respect him. So because of all that he did for me, I want to spend time with him. I want his will to be done, because many times his will, all the time, his will is better than my will. How many times have you prayed something and then it didn't happen and the opposite happened and you went and said, "Okay, yes, Lord, I'm glad you did it your way. It's so much better than mine." One commentator put it this way. He said, "It has been well said that the purpose of prayer is not to get man's will done in heaven, but to get God's will done on earth." And so many times I come to God and I say, "God, I want you to do this and this and this and this and this." And I don't look at God as God. I look at God as a genie. And if I can just twist him or say the right thing or do the right thing, then he will accomplish all of my wish list. That's not how I am to come to God, friends. I am to come to God saying, "God, you loved me. You are my heavenly Father. I respect you. I've read your word. I want you to accomplish your will." But we don't pray that way because then that doesn't put me in control. And I want to control the narrative. I want to control what is being said and what's being done. But when I come to prayer, I'm saying, "God, I want your will to be done, not mine. Your will to be done." So if you're tracking, the first thing is I am praying with that relationship. I'm saying, "Hallowed be your name." I'm showing respect. I'm saying, "Your kingdom come," or "Your will be done." I want his plan to be done. Then I'm going to look at him and say, "I need faith. Give us each day our daily bread." We love bread. But this goes back to the disciples knowing the Old Testament. This is going to take me back to Exodus. If you would want to read Exodus this afternoon, the people of Israel, they were in the wilderness wandering, and every day they would wake up and they would find bread. We call that manna. Every day manna would be there, provided by God. And what would happen if they tried to hoard or gather 2 days' rations of the bread? It would rot, except on the Sabbath. It would rot. And so each day they would wake up, and their first thought, or one of their first thought, is, "Lord, you're going to have to provide for me because I cannot provide myself." So he says here, "Give us each day our daily bread." Lord, you are the one that can provide what I need. Not what I want, because I know what I want. but I know what I need. Give us each day our daily bread. They're coming to God. Jesus is teaching them, you come to God because he's the one that provides. He's the one that can bring you what you need. And you're coming to yourself and you're saying, God, I acknowledge that you are the one that provides for me. Would you give me this day my daily bread? Would you give me what I need? Just imagine waking up every day and praying, Lord, I don't know what today holds, but I know who holds today. Pray for my faith to increase. Help me to rely upon you. And yet, friends, if we're going to be honest with each other, we pray our own prayers. And if it doesn't work out, we just go out and make it happen ourselves. Jesus is teaching us reliance upon God and God alone. So then he says, and then you're going to pray, forgive us of our sins. Remember back in the Old Testament, we talked about God being separate and God being holy. We need to come back and visit that. You see, God is perfect. God is holy. God is without blemish. And yet here I sit next to God as my heavenly Father saying, hey, Dad, I really messed up. I really missed the mark on this. This is where I made a mistake. You called me to do this, and I did this. You told me to live in obedience, and I chose disobedience. Jesus says, when you pray and you acknowledge the perfection of God and the imperfection of yourself. And friends, let me stop and tell you right now, the cross, the ground at the cross, it's level. We're all broken. All of us are. And we all submit to a God that is perfect. And when we pray, we acknowledge our shortcomings. We acknowledge what we did wrong and forgive us of our sins, for we ourselves also forgive everyone. This is hard. This is difficult because let me tell you what forgiveness is and what forgiveness is not. Forgiveness is not forgetting. God made our minds so fearfully and wonderfully. They are so intricate with one another that we possibly cannot forget what happens to us. Short of traumatic brain injury or Alzheimer's or dementia, we're going to remember things that happen. So forgiveness is not forgetting. What is forgiveness? Forgiveness is choosing not to bring up. Look at what he says. He says, for we ourselves also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. You have a debt against me. You did something to me. It hurt me. You are in my debt. I offer forgiveness to you, and what I'm saying to you is your debt has been paid in full. I'm no longer going to hold you accountable for the debt that you have against me. It's what God did for us. We have a debt that we cannot pay. We missed the mark. We are not perfect. And God said, out of his great love, out of that desire for a relationship with us, God sent Jesus. And God said, Jesus covered your debt. We are also to forgive the debts of others. Friends, that is easy to say, and yet it is so hard to do. So he says, when you pray with the respect, with the relationship of God. You pray with the respect of God. Then you pray the will of God. Then you pray the faith, the reliance upon God. Then you pray forgiveness of your sins. And then you can say, God, I'm really struggling with this forgiveness towards this individual. I know what you're called me to do, but I'm struggling with this. Would you help me with it? And then you pray Lead us not into temptation. If you want to cross-reference James chapter 1, verse 13, for the sake of time, I'm not going to go there. But James chapter 1, verse 13 tells me that God does not lead me to temptation. When you are tempted, do not say that you are tempted of God, because God does not lead you to temptation. So what does this mean if it doesn't mean that God leads me to temptation? Well, God knows all. God sees all. He sees the whole plan. So when I pray, I'm praying to him, God, you know where I'm going. You know the minefields that are out there. You know the paths that I could go down that are going to cause me to sin. Would you help me not to go down that way? Would you help me to avoid those pitfalls that are going to cost me relational equity with you? Because God, you see all and you know all. Because you are God and I am not. That's what he's saying. So how are we to break this down into Monday morning? Well, the first thing is, how do I pray? I need to pray with a relationship with God. Do you have that relationship with God? If you don't, I would love to talk to you. Our pastors will be in the back. They would love to talk to you. This is an opportunity that you can come and start a relationship with the God of heaven and have it be intimate. Maybe you would say, I have that relationship, but it is really strained. We're not on speaking terms. Things are not well. Today can be the day that you repair that relationship. Today can be that day that you come back and say, God, Dad, I've been gone a while. Can we talk? Can we interact with one another? So the first thing that you need to do is to pray with that relationship in mind. The second one that you need to do is you need to pray God's plan. If you have a relationship with the God in heaven and you want to pray God's plan, you need to know his word. You need to spend time in his word. You need to be reading his word so that you know what he wants to accomplish. It helps you to walk in obedience if you know God's plan. You can't go wrong praying scripture, friends. When you don't know what to pray, then you open up the Bible and you find that passage and you pray it. One of the things that I love to do is take out the he and put my name in. May the Lord bless Tom and keep Tom. Samples like that. So if you don't know what to pray, pray scripture. But you also need to know God's plan. It takes time to spend in his word. Third thing you need to do is remember that God has the power. You're not praying to a God that does not know or does not have the power. You are praying to God who has unlimited power. James chapter 4 tells us, sometimes you pray and do not have because you pray and you ask amiss. You're praying with the wrong motivation. So I don't want to get in this prosperity gospel, say, just pray and God's going to make it happen. That's not biblical truth. But sometimes we pray and don't receive because we ask with the wrong motives. Oh, God, you told us that we would be in one accord, and I'm praying that we would be in one accord with one another, but I think we should be in more of a Mustang. I think it should be a Ford Mustang with a cherry red. God, I think that it should be with a convertible because then I can play WHCF loud and be evangelistic. It doesn't work like that, friends. How come God hasn't got me my convertible? I wonder why. But we want to pray knowing that God has the power. But I'm praying knowing what God's plan is because I spent time in his word. Why have I spent time in his word? Because he's my dad. And I want to spend time with him. I want to remember that God is holy. I have the opportunity to approach the living God who's so powerful. He spoke and this world came into existence. And he invites me to come and sit next to him at his feet or on his lap and say, "Hey, Daddy, I have some concerns, but I need to remember that he is holy. I need to remember he is holy. I need to remember extend forgiveness to my friends, to my relatives, and sometimes even those ones that have hurt me, because I want God to extend forgiveness to me." Now, you can pray this as you work through this, saying, "God, you know that I struggle with this. I know what your word says. I know what your plan is, but I'm struggling here. Can you help me?" And watch the ministry of God happen in your life. But it's through this ongoing conversation. And finally, what I want to do, I want to walk in obedience. You see, friends, God loves us. And he wants a relationship with us, but we need to walk in obedience, to spend time in his word. How much time do I have to spend? Any time is better than none. Spend time understanding what God's word has to say. Then you can walk in obedience. Then you'll be able to remember that God is holy. Then you'll be able to remember that God is powerful. Then you'll be able to understand God's plans because you spent time in his word, because you want that relationship with him. What would it take for you to make sure you would not lose your relationship with your best friend? You would do almost anything to make sure you don't lose that relationship, right? Same thing is true with God and his word. I don't want to lose that relationship with my dad in heaven. So what are we to do? What do I want you to do? Well, I've been challenged the last 2 weeks to start a prayer team. Life is busy. So tonight, with the other four small groups, which you are more than welcome to come to, please come. If you missed the first week, we'll catch you up, not a problem. But maybe this week, you need a place to pray. This is not a structured time. You start at 6, we close at 7. This is, you need 10 minutes to pray, you come pray. You need 20 minutes to pray, you come pray. You want to come be a blessing to somebody? Come ready to pray with someone. You need prayer? You come and someone will pray with you. Don't misunderstand. This is not a have-to-come small group that's very structured. You come practicing what you've learned. And the only way you get to be a better prayer is to pray. So if you want to come, if one of the small groups that we launched last week wasn't really where you were able to connect, what a great opportunity to come and practice Acts 1:14. They gather together to pray. Jesus, teach me to pray. Lord, I'm so thankful for your word. I'm thankful for the power that it has. Thankful for the instructions that it can bring. And Lord, this morning, if there is somebody here that does not know you, may you give them the boldness. And I would dare say, make them uncomfortable until they see one of our pastors, to be able to start a relationship with the maker of heaven and earth, who says, "Come and call me dad." And if there are some here this morning that would say, "My relationship is strained," may you give them the boldness and the confidence to find help in one of our pastors, to be able to say, "My relationship is not where it needs to be." Lord, I pray that you might help us to live in obedience to your word, to pray your will be done and not our own. Lord, we're so thankful for what you have done. Lord, this week, may our relationship with you grow because we have spent time in prayer. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.